1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show. And as you know, an airplane, survivors believed to be from a plane hijacked from Cuba today, have been found in the waters 180 miles southwest of Key West, 30 miles northwest of Cuba. The Coast Guard said the Chios Dream, an American cargo ship, happened upon 9 injured people and 1 body, a Coast Guard official told ABC News. But the latest news, and did we get the latest on this? Because the latest is it was a Panamanian ship that picked them up. So I guess we didn't get the latest. Coast Guard authorities said a helicopter was en route to airlift the injured to a hospital in Key West. Ruben Ramon Escobar, part of an activist community in South Florida, is on the line with us this evening from Miami to talk about this plane, obviously, or at least in the minds of some people, populated with people who are looking to leave Cuba, correct?
There's no doubt in my mind that this is a plane that is going to be from Cuba to take people to South Florida to freedom. This plane was hijacked from Cuba for freedom, and we do believe that Elian Gonzalez was trying to return to Miami. We have never forgotten him.
And, all right, let me be clear. You think Elian Gonzalez might be on this plane?
I believe that Elian was. I had indicated that he wanted to return to America at the soonest possible opportunity.
Elian indicated he wanted to return to America at the soonest opportunity.
Yes.
Why? How do you know this?
Well, we know this because I planned for him to return to America. I was able, along with the organization I was with, to get money to Elian and communicate the whereabouts of the plane. We were also able to get him firearms. So now Elian has tried to return to us, and once again the CIA has failed and foiled his attempt. How did the CIA do this? We are looking into this.
And, all right, you're saying some things here. You're saying that you got some money to Elian Gonzalez to try to return to the United States?
That is correct, yes.
And you got him firearms? You got this kid weaponry? The kid is 7 years old.
You have to understand that in order for him to be able to effect this hijack of this plane, there had to be some weapons. And it's not up to me. I am a man who is desperate for his freedom.
He's a seven-year-old kid, okay? All right, he's a seven-year-old...
He's a human being that we wish for the CIA of the United States to let us know if he is on this plane.
But you say you provided weapons and money and a way to hijack a plane from Cuba to Elian Gonzalez and some Confederates.
That is correct, yes. And we're pretty sure that this is the plane.
You're not sure whether this is the plane?
No, we are pretty sure this is the one because he was supposed to leave us.
All right, let me ask you, how did the CIA have anything to do with this plane running out of gas, which is what they say happened to this aircraft? You're saying the CIA is foiling Elian Gonzalez's return to...
The CIA, we believe, Mr. Henry, has operatives. Certainly, they have operatives in Cuba and as well as, obviously, in the United States. What we think they did, what we believe they did, was to, as soon as they gassed up the plane, they siphoned gas from the plane and then punctured a hole in the gas tank after they put the gas in.
So that, wait a minute. They gassed up the plane, then the CIA came and siphoned the gas?
Correct.
And then they regassed it, and then they punctured the gas tank?
We believe so, yes, because this plane ran out of gas, and we do not believe that Elian Gonzalez would be so foolish as to take off from Cuba to come to America without gasoline in the plane. We don't think this is a man, this is a boy who is looking for freedom.
And that's a couple of times you've called him a man, okay?
I refer to who?
You've called Elian Gonzalez a man. You know it's a boy, right?
Yes, yeah, right. I knew it.
You know you were talking about a little boy, right?
Yes, I do. But
But see...
We have information that they siphoned right after they filled up, punctured the gas tank, and this is what happened to the plane.
Well, this seems unlikely, all right? Because
if the CIA can make me look bad by killing a child and no one knows it's the CIA, they'll do it.
And what do you mean by firearms again? You said you got firearms to him?
When it comes to freedom, we would all die, even 6 or 7 year olds. We would all die.
All right, we're talking to Ruben Ramon Escobar. What do you mean the CIA's... I want to ask you a question. You're telling a story here. You're telling me that the plane that crashed today off of Cuba had Elian Gonzalez on board, that he's trying to get back to America, that he and some Confederates hijacked that plane with money and weapons that you got to him, and...
Yes, because I have no not forgotten this boy.
And that you got to him, and that the CIA siphoned the gas out of the plane and then punctured gas holes in the gas tank to make you look bad by killing this child. Why would the CIA, okay, want to make you look bad?
Because Ruben Ramon Escobar is the number one anti-Castro freedom fighter in all of Miami. The CIA would like to humiliate me by bringing me down and bringing this kid down as well. It is unfair that the CIA would do this. And this is what I'm talking about.
All right. How do you know that the boy is with them?
I'm sorry?
How do you know that Elian Gonzalez is with them?
We demand the CIA and the United States government show us the boy. We demand to see the boy. And
so you don't know whether the Elian Gonzalez is on this plane?
We don't know, but we demand to see the boy.
And what if the boy is not there?
Then we must go in and get him. We must get the boy. But the CIA will not correct this mistake. Get the boy. We must get the boy.
Well, all right. Mr. Escobar, I think you've got a big hill to climb there. First of all, you don't know whether or not the kid was on that plane. Secondly, if the kid was on the plane, you don't have any information as to his whereabouts. And thirdly, according to you, the CIA is trying to kill you because you're trying to get Elian Gonzalez out of the country. Is that your story? Is it your story?
I tell you, my story is not. I'm not to be lectured to by you. But
I'm not lecturing you. Is your story that you gave money to Elian Gonzalez to hijack a plane?
I did, yes. And I know that Elian wants to get out of there. He told me the last thing he said to me before he left. I said, God, I don't want to go. And because he did not see a lot of the things. And
the last thing he said to you.
I had that communication with him. And I am saying to you, Mr. Henry, before you take lightly the freedom that we desire as the Cuban people. I am Ruben Ramon Escobar. The CIA knows me, and they would want to kill me because I'm the number one freedom fighter for all of the people of Cuba. And that Elian Gonzalez was trying to get out. And
So you don't know that he's there.
I asked the CIA, we want to see the boy, and if we see the boy, we'll know it's the boy.
And if the boy ain't there,
then we've got to go in to get him. Because I know he's headed up to here with Cuba. He's sick of it. He said so. What?
Never mind. 1-800-449.
You know, this is not a game that we are playing, you know?
No, I know you're not playing a game. 1-800-449-8686. Ruben Ramon Escobar is on the line with us, talking about the plane that was shot down, the plane that went down in the sea off of the coast of Cuba that had some 9 people on board, I believe, right, Mike? 10 people on board. One of them is dead. The other, I believe, are survivors picked up by a wide variety of reports, either a Panamanian or an American ship. Mr. Escobar believes that Elian Gonzalez was on board. How many children were on board that flight?
Three
children. You think one of them was Elian Gonzalez attempting to come back to the United States because you provided him with money, weapons.
And also we had provided to him a visa, a passport. So that
What good's a passport going to do him if he's landing his plane in full view of the world?
Well, we are trying for him to effect a landing in Cuba where he would not be detected. And then we will therefore be able to just get out of the plane and check into a Holiday Inn there in Sunrise or someplace and blend in.
But okay, so the kid is flying in from Cuba in this plane. They're going to land it undetected and then blend in.
That was the plan, yes. And obviously it went awry. They ran out of gas.
All right, and that's because the CIA punctured holes in the gas tank.
To my belief, you know, if you don't believe what I say to you, it doesn't matter. We've been doing this battle for so many years. We are fighting this battle.
And is Ruben Ramon Escobar, the number one anti-Castro fighter in Florida, the CIA is trying to kill you for trying to get him out?
They will have to kill me for getting Elian out. They don't like me. I love America. But why America want to kill me, I don't know. But we must see the boy to know whether or not my money got him out. Otherwise, I'm out like 50 grand. And that hurts.
$50,000 is what you said to those guys?
Yeah. Give or take 10.
All right, 1-800-449. So he's going to be out 50 G's if that kid ain't out of Florida. He thinks that Elian Gonzalez is on that plane. Is there any list of the names of the people who are on that plane? 1-800-449-8686 as we speak with Ruben Ramon Escobar, anti-Castro activist from Miami, about the plane that went down off of Cuba. He believes Elian Gonzalez is on board, and he believes that because he sent money down there so that Elian could hijack an airplane and get some guns and come up here and do it. Didn't give him enough money to keep gas in the tank, but the CIA punctured the tank. I forgot about that one. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Hold on, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show. Ruben Ramon Escobar, anti-Castro activist from Miami, has joined us from Miami this evening on the phone. Following the crash of a plane that was hijacked in Cuba in the Yucatan Straits, I think, is where it was picked up. There's some speculation, at least on the part of Mr. Escobar.
Not on the part of me, it's on the part of the Cuban community.
All right, hold on. All right, on the part of the Cuban community, then, that Elian Gonzalez might have been on board this airplane, that he hijacked it, that he... You're saying a 7-year-old boy hijacked an airplane.
I'm saying that he had Confederates in Cuba who helped him effect his hijacking. Yes, I did.
That he held a gun on somebody and said...
I don't know what his role is. This is not important what his role is. What is important is that with the money that I provided to him is possible...
But you don't know for sure.
Well, I gave him money. I got the money to him through people. And
how did you get money to Elian Gonzalez in Cuba?
I'm not willing to say.
All right, so why do you think that was him?
Because he's overdue. He was supposed to be here last week. I sent in the book Hijacking for Dummies. And what he did, I...
Okay, so you sent him a book, you gave him money, you gave him a weapon... And you think he's hijacked a plane and is on his way up here to the United States. Let's say that he isn't on that plane. You say we ought to go in and get him. If he's on the plane, I can understand one thing that people may say, well, let's keep him, okay? But if he's not on the plane, he's not on the plane, and you're not going to get anybody interested in getting him out of Cuba, okay?
You are wrong there, Mr. Henry, because the simple point of fact is this, that if I give the word, I could have 1,000 Cubans in the street within the hour.
And how can you get 1,000 Cubans in the street in an hour?
Because I am Ruben Ramon Escobar. I am the number one anti-Castro activist in South Florida. The people will listen to me. The people will follow my lead. And I've said to them, I will get Elian Gonzalez back. I have not forgotten the boy. And that's why I said to you, it is the most important thing for the boy to show himself. Maybe the boy doesn't want to show himself. I don't know. But maybe the CIA will not let the boy show himself. But I give the word. All I have to do is wink. All I have to do is lift my leg. Thousands of Cubans will be in the street. And they will then demand where the boy is. I rule them.
Okay, back it off, will you?
No, I'm saying it's important for the Cuban people to be recognized in this matter. Because I feel as if we have been insulted. Would I give good money to have a plane hijacked and they punch holes in the gas tank? God damn.
Mr. Escobar, let me ask you, if this is not the Elian plane, you realize that you have ruined Elian's chances for escape. You realize that?
Run that by me again.
If this is not Elian Gonzalez's plane,
right?
You realize that you've blown his chance for escape.
Why?
Why? Because this broadcast most probably is being monitored in Cuba, and that, that it's being monitored in Cuba, and that the Cuban authorities will then say, oh, look at this. Elian Gonzalez has weapons, he has Confederates inside the country, and he has money. And he's probably plotting an escape because of this guy in Miami, Ruben Ramon Escobar. And then maybe the Cuban Secret Service will want to wax you, okay?
Well, because the CIA has been trying to kill me for years. The CIA has been trying to kill me ever since I was born. And as far as Elian Gonzalez...
Ever since you were born, huh?
Well, close. he can do it. And I know that...
Okay, 1-800-449-8686.
I'm sure this is his plane. I also sent him tickets to Disney World, and they expire in 2 days. I'm sure this is him. Otherwise,
you're out 50K.
Yes, sir. And it hurts.
Yeah, well... It's going to hurt, man. It's going to hurt real bad that this kid is down there in South Florida or down there in Cuba or wherever he is, and he won't make any contact with you, okay? Perhaps he's just making contact with his family. And
No Cuban comes into Miami without making contact with Ruben Ramon Escobar.
What I'm saying is that it's possible that if Elian was on that boat, or on that plane, I should say, and made it into South Florida, the first people that he'd want to see would be that family that he was with.
No. Impossible.
Why is that impossible? That he'd want to be with that aunt that was crying, and that
no Cuban comes into South Florida without speaking to Ruben Ramon Escobar. They first have to come and pay their respects. They have a cup of Cuban coffee, and
will you come on? They just fished the guy out of the freaking water. He's gonna come down and have himself a cup of Cuban coffee. Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. He may be slippery, but you've endangered his chances, if he is not in that plane, of ever getting out again.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Yeah, that's what happens, see? Because you're running your big mouth about the money that you sent him.
I thought this might be him.
Well, it could be, but if it's not... That means that the Cuban Secret Service is on his tail now. They know that Ruben Ramon Escobar has sent him money, and...
You were saying my name out loud like that, is that...
You've been saying your name out loud for the last half hour, that you're the number one anti-Castro activist.
Well, I know that.
Yeah, well, you know that. Well, so I'm saying it. And the fact is that this kid is now on some kind of a list if he's not out of that country. So I would suggest that you keep a low profile... Find out who these people are. Can we get a list of who these survivors are? Did we get a list of any names or anything? Because if we can find that out...
Yeah, but they're going to... First of all, they're going under an alias. He could be with them and using a different name. Because that is the first thing that I would do where I eat. And I know many Cubans are not going to use their real name when they come back in.
And what name is he using?
A lot of them are anglicized names.
What name is he using?
It's Dave Schwartz.
Okay, so Elian Gonzalez is coming back into the country, and the name he's going to give the Coast Guard is Dave Schwartz.
Right.
All right, man, good luck with... good luck with this whole rescue thing, man. I don't think it's him, because I didn't see any manifest with the name Dave Schwartz on it. But now we know, if there is a guy picked up at sea named Dave Schwartz...
It's Elian Gonzalez.
Right.
I blew it again.
Yeah. Yeah, you blew it again.
You know something,
I think what you just need to do...
Tell me.
You just need to shut up.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Yeah. Shut up.
But I'm Ruben Ramon
Escobar, and you're the number one guy. You keep your big fat mouth shut. Now he's going to get a different name, okay?
Yeah, Elian, if you're listening, don't give the name Dave Schwartz. Elian...
Yeah, don't give that name, Elian. Okay, we're done with that nutcase. Elian Gonzalez is going to come back to the country with the alias Dave Schwartz. 1-800-449-8686. We're going to continue with our discussion on this in just a couple of minutes here on the Phil Hendry Show. Don't forget about our Saturday, November 4th, Casino Night 2000. It starts at 7 o'clock at the Museum of Flying in Santa Monica. Proceeds go to My Friend's Place, a resource center for homeless and runaway youth in Los Angeles. They provide meals, a safe place to be. They offer programs to assist young people by helping them cultivate necessary communication and social skills. Tickets are $250 per person, and they can be purchased by calling our Casino Night coordinator at 323-908-0011, extension 102, or by mailing a check to Post Office Box 3867, Hollywood, California, 90078. And also corporate sponsorship packages are available. Now, that isn't all, and I'll be announcing a few extra special cool things that will be happening that night. Hope you can join us Saturday, November 4th. We'll be back on The Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to The Phil Hendry Show. And now, Coast to Coast, AM, PM, Minimart. If you're calling from west of the Rockies and you don't know what to do yet, you're pretty stupid. If you're calling from east of the Rockies, good for you. I don't know what to tell the rest of you. And now, Coast to Coast, AM, PM, out of retirement. From the Kingdom of Nye. Woo! Here's my man.
Thank you very much, Ross. Thank you, and hello. And it's good to be back with all of you. Out of retirement. And out of retirement for a very good reason. Because in a moment, we're going to be talking with General Johnson Jameson about the MTA strike in the city of Los Angeles and how bus and transit strikes can affect each and every one of us in a very, very negative way. But first, this from Peenemann Enterprises. Friends, how many times have you thought I could be flying over the Andes, the plane could crash, me and a soccer team could be left on board, stranded there, and then I'd need to eat human flesh? Do I have a recipe book? Well, now you do. Donner Party for Two. From Peenemann Enterprises. You really don't know how good an Italian goalkeeper can taste, but with Donner Party of Two, these recipes will be great recipes like Uruguayan cab driver L'Orange, or Canadian banker under glass. How about Texas oil man stew, or my personal favorite, filet of Chilean school teacher. And if you order now, you get the special flavor packets. Yes, it's the great recipe book for people stranded in the Andes, hoping to stay alive by eating human flesh, the flesh perhaps of a friend or family member. Donner Party of Two, new from Peenemann Enterprises.
And now, back to that sick bastard art.
All right, thank you very much. And we do have on the line General, Brigadier General Johnson Jameson. By the way, do you notice how much the show sucks since Michael Siegel took over? I'm just kidding. It's really good. Let's start again.
Here's that ass art.
All right, thank you. Now, I'm joking around, of course. I think he's a tremendous individual, great broadcaster, and I'm very happy to be retired. Sitting at home as I usually do, peering through the blinds when I hear a truck pull up, otherwise having my wife or bodyguard answer the door. Now, General Jameson is on the line with us from his bunker complex. Actually, General Jameson, I'm not exactly sure. Where are you right now?
Right now I'm at my vacation bunker. Ordinarily, I would be in my bunker complex under 300 feet under the Saskatchewan crust, but I'm in my vacation bunker right now. I'm having my other bunker termite treated.
All right, so you have termites in your bunker in Saskatchewan?
Yes, I'm in Lancaster, California. And
now, General, you know that there is a light rail and bus strike in the Los Angeles area, correct?
Yes, I do.
Now, here is where it gets really interesting. The light rail strike and bus strike is impacting you there in Lancaster. Do you see this as another CIA attempt at silencing you?
Well, I got to tell you something. I do, Art. And I'll tell you why. This bus and rail strike has affected me. My caregiver and nurse, Juanita, usually takes the bus here. But this is day four of me sitting in my own waste, okay? In other words, my adult diaper hasn't been changed.
Uh-huh.
And I just marked it off on the calendar, day four, and in my diary, dear diary, day four of me sitting in my own human excrement. Now, you see? Do you see?
I do.
You see?
Yes, I see.
Okay. And that's what I'm talking about. How about some more of that spooky music? It really... thank God. I didn't think I was on the air with you.
Oh, no. We love... So you're sitting there in your own waste because your caregiver, Juanita, is not there to change your diaper?
That's correct. And I believe...
What do you attribute that to?
I attribute it to the CIA creating a bus strike and rail strike so that my maid can't get up here to change my diaper or make me my... Well, my special little drink Drinky Poo. And it,
what Drinky Poo is that?
Well, it's an otter pop that I like to melt into a Jell-O.
That sounds a lot like a lot of fun that you have with your the woman who changes your diaper.
I really do. And then we get and take a bath and stuff. But she's not here. And so that, you see, I believe to be a plot. We enjoy each other's company.
So you can see, ladies and gentlemen, that General Jameson is speaking to me from his vacation bunker 300 feet below the California crust, that he hasn't had his adult diaper changed in 3 days by his caregiver, and that is because the CIA started this strike and is attempting to continue this strike. And
4 days, Art. 4 days I've been sitting.
How about if you were to get up and actually wash yourself off?
Well, that defeats the whole purpose of having a woman come in.
Yes, I understand that, but I thought...
No, I can't do that. I can't do that. I have important work that I have to do. I have to prove that the CIA wants to murder me. Why would I want to get up and give myself a sponge bath and disprove all of that, you see? So.
All right, I understand. Well, I hope that you're feeling better. I hope that someone changes your diaper very quickly.
Thank you. Thank you, and God bless.
God bless. So, you see, I came out of retirement for that. To get on the phone with General Johnson Jameson, only to find out he's been sitting in his own waste for 4 days because the woman who usually changes his diapers isn't there because of a rail strike. Thank you. Oh, shut up. I'm Art Bell. Goodbye.
And now, back into retirement he goes. And why not? You people creep him out. You give him the big-time creeps. Quit bothering him. I'm Ross Mitchell. I'm the real star of this show. By the way, I haven't had my diapers changed either. You're listening to The Phil Hendry Show.
Well, now I'll tell you the story that Melissa and Mike and everybody wants me to tell. This is the Phil Hendry Show, and I'm Phil. So, because we were just talking about, General Johnson Jameson there with Art sitting in his own crap, and they said, and I mentioned to them, well, you know, that was my dad toward the end of his life. They said, oh, tell that story on the air. It's funny. How dare... No, I'm just kidding. Well, it was. He said, it's really funny. Talk about your old man sitting there in a nursing home in his own do. Okay, here's how it goes. My old man was in some toilet of a nursing home down here, and I don't even know what the town was. Was it Hawthorne or something, or Torrance? Some crap can. Real garbage pit. How he got in there, I don't know. Because I knew he was not doing well. He was getting worse. I knew he was getting worse the day he said to me, hey, do you think Frank Gifford could make a comeback as a football? I thought he was saying as a broadcaster. He was talking as a football player. He says, do you think, no, Dad, Frank Gifford's like 112. No, I think he could still play ball. Okay, so right then I decided to just go ahead and check the menu again, and I'll have just coffee, please. I knew there was trouble, so we kind of all got together as a family and said, well, what are we going to do? And somebody made the decision to put him in this toilet. This place where they warehouse old people. He was there for a couple of weeks, and I would go there, and I would read to him, and I would do all this stuff, and, and I would smell. When you walk into a place where human beings are kept, and you can smell crap and urine, you know, it's like you're walking into the freaking pound, okay? It's time to get whoever that is that's in there, any loved one of yours, in any nursing home that smells like somebody just took a crap, get them out of there. That's the number one rule. And if anybody out there operates any toilet bowl like that, somebody ought to roll a hand grenade in there. You know, these are people supposedly we love and care about, and we've got to, do something for them, for God's sake, toward the end of their life. So I'm talking about 12, 13 years ago when my father passed on, which was in 1987. So I got him out of this toilet, and there was some old man laying next to him. It was nuts. And we finally got him into a place that was really nice, really clean and really nice people and really relatable people and not the stupid blank stare that some of these idiots would give me when I asked them questions about him. And they put him into a really nice place. And unfortunately, see, my father didn't have Alzheimer's, but he had some kind of a problem that affected his mind so that he was gradually reduced to kind of a childlike state. Or he was just, he was out of it, right? He didn't quite know where he was. So this was a really great place, but he started to have an adult diaper. I guess he had a diaper problem or something. Because they would find him with, you know, sitting in his own crap. So he, one night, he went into a coma. The next day, he died. And I really believe it's because he was an extremely fastidious man in his life. He took like two, three showers a day sometimes. He just liked to be clean. And he used a lot of cologne. And he was a clean guy. And I think something way deep down inside of him was saying, you're sitting in your own crap. We've got to check out of this. I know I would. Mike's nodding very seriously. Jeez, it must have been a tough time. I'm serious. I understand if you're sitting in your own crap, you'd want to check out. Yes, you would too. No matter how simple-minded you've gotten, no matter how, you know, how far gone you are with this Alzheimer's thing, man, I'm telling you, we all got parents, and I'm telling you, Charlie, I hope it's easier on you than it was on me. I'm telling you that. Because this was a real drag. And so anyway, this cat, my old man, finally checked out the next day. And I really believe it's just, it got to a point in his life where he said, Jesus, I can't, this is unbelievable. Even though he wasn't consciously the kind of man who could formulate those thoughts anymore, I think there's some deeper level where you still are maintaining some sense of yourself. And I think that night, he checked out. He willed himself into that coma, and eventually he died. Because it was like, you know, I can take anything, man. I can survive anything. I will not sit here and have people change my pants for me. It's not going to happen. I'm dead. And I got to be honest with you, I was happy for him, because I knew all of this. He's went, well, you're, oh, your father, we had to change his pants. He pooped in him. Oh, isn't that just, oh, thank you. Oh, boy. Well, you know, and I said, oh, man, I hope this poor guy just, you know, wherever he's going, go now, Dad. And that's what he did. Because the doctor said to me, do you want to put him on artificial respiration? I said, hell no. And he said, why not? I said, because he may crap his pants again. And I'm not going to be the guy changing that. So just check him right off this the planet. And by the way, just so you're not too totally shocked, he told me to pull the freaking plug, okay? So thank you very much. I got the word directly from my old man. I was 8 when he gave it to me, but I remember he said, he did. He said, don't you ever put me on that artificial bull crap. I said, I ain't going to do that. And he had a glass of Budweiser when he said it, but...
And, son, I want you to know one more thing. I want you to pull a plug on me.
Okay, Pop.
If you can remember, I don't know.
Well, I don't know, I'll probably remember. Because the other thing he asked me to do, my father liked to sail, and he had a sailboat that he had at Newport Beach, and it was a really beautiful boat. It was a 33-foot road sloop. You people who are into sailboats, you may know what I'm talking about. Those of you who don't know, it was a wood-hulled, it was a teak-hulled, gorgeous sailboat, 33 feet long, slept about 4 people, and had a little galley, and it was really cool. And it's a hell of a thing. If you own a boat, a wood boat is a son of a gun to take care of, because you got to hose that thing, especially if you have it on the ocean. You bring it in and you spend an hour and a half to 2 hours hosing it down and shamming it down and wiping it down, because if it's wood and it gets salt water on it, it blisters, the wood blisters, and it's horrible. That's why most boats today are fiberglass. But anyway, he had this boat, and we would sail as a kid, and he said to me, I love this. I love this life. And what I'd like you to do, Philip, and again, I'm 9, you know, what are you putting this on me for, man?
Well, I just want you to know. Here's another thing I want you to remember.
Okay, you want me to pull the plug? What's the next thing? Tie me to the tiller of this boat and just set me adrift. If the day ever comes, tie me to the tiller of this boat and set me adrift and just... That's where I want to die. And I later on said, that would have been cool if you hadn't sold the boat. So now what am I going to tie it to? Your Cadillac? How about if I tie it to the wheel of your Cadillac and just send it down a freeway on-ramp? Mike says, how about if, did you light it on fire like in King Arthur? No. Like a Viking funeral? So he said, tie me to the tiller of this boat. I love this so much. And when the time came that I could have tied him to the tiller of the boat, it had been sold. So the only boat that I could tie him to the tiller of was actually my electric boat, and we're eventually going to find him because it's a lake. If I tied my old man to the tiller of an electric boat and set him adrift out to Westlake, eventually it goes around the island and comes back to my house. And he ain't going to smell too good either. Or I could tie him to the tiller of the boat that he loves so dearly, but the owner wouldn't like it very much, whoever he or she is. So the poor son of a gun's, you know, he, you know, wound up the way he did, sitting in his diapers. And I said, well, I'm sure that he didn't want to do that. So that's why I checked out. So I think the people have a control over that thing, man. You know, I think you know when you want to go. Because he was healthy as anything, and then the next day he's, like, out flat on his back, and, you know, with the thing going beep, 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 beep. And I said, this sucks. The doctor said, well, he's gonna croak eventually here, and I got to catch lunch. I said, I don't blame you. So how about if we just go ahead and... No, we waited until the thing went down. It didn't pull a plug prematurely. And they don't pull the plug necessarily. What they do is they just wait for you to croak, and they don't re-energize you. So I said to the doctor, pull it. I'll get the burgers. He said, great, and okay. You know. And that's that. But he didn't want to be sitting in his poop. So that's the story you guys wanted me to tell on the air, huh? Well, there it is. That's the truth. That's my life. That's one aspect of my life. Do I want anybody to do that for me? Hey, let me tell you something. After seeing Jethro Tull on Saturday night, I wanted somebody to tie me to the tiller of a boat and set it on fire. That's the last time I ever do anything like that again as long as I live. And you guys that are going out there trying to... Forget it. Oh, let's go see the Grateful Dead. There's a reason why they named themselves that. They're dead and they're grateful. I ain't going to do that again. In fact, I ain't going to see no music ever again. The only music I'm going to go see is like Irish folk, some kind of Iranian classical, some sitar crap, stuff that I have no history with, stuff that looks new, even though the guy who's up there practicing it is 165 years old, lives in a freaking cave in the north of China. You know how I want to go out? Tie me to a radio transmitter and pump 50,000 watts through my rear end. That'd be great. That's the only kind of music I want to see. I do not want to go back and see any, no, baby boomer freaking ass band. And Almost Famous, now that I think about it, that movie blows. Okay. Enough already with the nostalgia, okay? Can we have a movie about right now? Something that's happening right now. What's happening right now? This show's happening right now, brother! Won't be long now, man. And if this TV show takes off, you'll be seeing my big bald face all over the place. And with the extra scratch, I may be able to send the kids to college or something. But I doubt it. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. Everybody says I look good on TV. I think I look good on TV the way those guys on those wanted posters on America's Most Wanted look good on TV. It's the Phil Hendry Show.